Live from Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruriak. In a press conference early today in Washington, D.C., U.S. Attorney General William Barr released information from Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report on Russian interference in the 2016 election. That was all before the report was released to the public. You might have heard that press conference. Here's a bit of what he said.
So that's the bottom line. After nearly 2 years of investigation, thousands of subpoenas, hundreds of warrants and witness interviews, the special counsel confirmed that the Russian government sponsored efforts to illegally interfere with the 2016 presidential election, but did not find that the Trump campaign or other Americans colluded in those efforts.
The Department of Justice has since posted the report online. Members of Congress reportedly have a different version, redacted in a different way. Kate Irby, who reports on California's congressional delegation from McClatchy's Washington, D.C. Bureau, is on the phone with us. Hi, Kate. This has been an important morning in Washington.
Of course.
So I think you've had about an hour with the report, as most of us have. Tell me what struck you about what you're seeing in the report and that press conference today.
So the press conference struck a lot of people as Attorney General Barr kind of trying to put in a defense of the president before the report even went out, which he's been criticized for in the past. He definitely did strike a tone that seemed to be defending the president. He talked about the emotional toll that this had taken on the president and why he felt passionately about these issues. But any questions that reporters had to Attorney General Barr about that kind of tone he was striking, he was defensive about. He said that he did not see anything odd in the way that he was presenting the report and the fact that he had had the press conference before the redacted report was released to the public. He said he felt that he was doing his duties properly. The report itself, it was summarized pretty well by the Barr report. They did not seem to find enough evidence of collusion, even though they did find that the Russians felt that they would benefit from a Trump presidency, and the Trump campaign felt that it would benefit from Russian help, but it did not find evidence of collusion. On obstruction, we have seen a little bit more of what was going on behind Mueller's thinking, that he put in several arguments into his report saying why an obstruction charge might be reasonable, but ultimately he did leave it up to Attorney General Barr, who, of course, declined to press any charges.
So it seems that each person getting a hold of the 400 pages is focusing on specific arenas. There's so much in the report. So I'm just going to ask you this broadly. Where have you focused some of your attention? What's caught your eye where you're spending some time digging and reading more deeply?
So personally, just because I am a California reporter and I've been interested in what's going on with Representative Nunes and some of his claims, I'm still digging into that. But it actually does not mention Representative Nunes explicitly in the report. I've looked into some of the Carter Page allegations. It actually doesn't have a whole lot about the Nunes memo or anything you would have seen in the Nunes memo. The Mueller report doesn't really address. But other areas, on the obstruction issue, it's incredibly detailed. There are 10 different episodes that the Mueller report specifically looks at on obstruction. And we're seeing a lot of different names mentioned, some that you would think that should be in here and aren't, and some that are in the report perhaps more often than you think they would be.
Give me an example of that, Kate.
So Jared Kushner, for example, is in the report more times than Donald Trump Jr., from what I've seen. And you also have a lot of instances of Don McGahn. Like I said, Representative Nunes' name is not in here at all. It's possible it's in the redacted version, it's less redacted version, but it's not in the public version.
So I mentioned that members of Congress were going to get a slightly different version than what's been posted online. Have you spoken to any of them? Do you have any response yet on what they're working their way through?
I have not. So it's obviously they just got it an hour ago, and so I'm sure they're still going through it. We've seen some initial responses on Twitter and in emails that are just starting to kind of pick up pace. Most of it is very falling on partisan lines. You know, Republicans saying this is the witch hunt is over, there's no collusion, this should be the end of it, and Democrats saying, you know, we want Mueller to testify. I mean, both sides are kind of still saying they would like to see Mueller or Attorney General Barr testify. But Democrats are kind of seizing on it a little bit more than Republicans. And also, they haven't said yet whether this redacted version is too much, if they need to see a fully unredacted version. We have not heard whether or not that's going to be a call yet.
I'm looking at the index, and besides the names you mentioned, some of those that would be expected, a section on George Papadopoulos, a section on Paul Manafort, a number of what would become now recognizable Russian names.
Right.
I want to shift to this push that's been happening by Nancy Pelosi and others that Robert Mueller testify before Congress. And that question came up in the press conference this morning. So spend a little time on where that sits right now and what you expect might happen from the California delegation and Nancy Pelosi in particular.
So Attorney General Barr has seemed to want to give the impression that he is the one who is going to be testifying, that this report was done under his office, and he feels he is the appropriate person to be testifying. And so that is obviously, he has said to Congress that he is willing to testify. Exact dates have not been said, but that is something that he has agreed to on the premise of it. So I expect that we will see him testifying both in the Senate Judiciary Committee and in the House Judiciary Committee. Which obviously will have completely different tones because one is run by Republicans and the other is by Democrats. But it seems that, especially from reactions of Intelligence Chairman Schiff over in the House, that Democrats very much want to see Mueller come in and to testify. They want to hear what he has to say, especially on this obstruction issue, because Democrats wanted, before they saw this redacted version of the report and they just had the summary, they want to know why Mueller did not make a prosecutorial judgment, which is standard, on obstruction and why he left it up to Barr. And I think they also want to ask Mueller if he would have made a different call, if this surprised him, if he felt that in any way that Attorney General Barr had not acted properly.
And Barr was asked more about that in detail in the questions this morning. I think that's a question that's not going to go away, even though he continues to answer it in a pretty consistent fashion. Would you agree?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think Democrats are going to continue to seize on this, and Attorney General Barr seems determined to demur. We'll see if anything happens. But I have no additional insight into that. Most people have not been talking to Mr. Mueller directly, and I'm sure that a decent part of that is up to him as well as Attorney General Barr.
I'm talking with McClatchy reporter Kate Irby. She is in Washington, D.C. We are talking about the release of the redacted version of the Mueller report. It is online, pretty easy to find online if you'd like to look for it. It was posted initially by the Department of Justice, but most news sources now have made it available to people. So, Kate, back for a moment to California Congressman Adam Schiff and the House Intelligence Committee. There is talk of intentions to pursue a number of different areas related to the president. The president this morning, speaking at an event, said, quote, "This should never happen to another president again, this hoax." How much do you get the sense that there will be continued push about this from the Intelligence Committee?
Oh, there definitely will. Congressman Schiff has not made any illusions about whether he thinks this is the end. He believes that there are other investigations to be had, that there were improprieties associated with the payment to Stormy Daniels, connected to the Inauguration Committee, connected to Trump's various business ties. So he has made clear that he does not think the Russia investigation is the be-all, end-all, that he thinks there are other improprieties that he feels the committee's responsibility is to look into these issues. So I think you will continue to see these investigations drawn out and probably more than one confrontation online, at least, between Representative Schiff and the president.
Would you say something from that stepped-back view that right now there's so much of California represented in the leadership of Congress, and California as a state has taken such a strong resistance position against the Trump administration, and now there's this one group of kind of loud sense of relief and clearing of the president supporting and saying, let's go on. And California just kind of holding on to it like this tug of war and absolutely not going to let go. Give me some of that broader view of the situation.
I think you obviously have to be careful. And I mean, wars between Republican presidents and Democrats in California especially is not completely new. Of course, President Trump has taken it kind of to a new level, and so has California with President Trump. But this whole thought of, you know, we're going to be critical of him, we're going to file suit, we're going to push back against him however we can, is not necessarily new. So it's experienced in the White House's and at the state level in Governor Newsom's administration. So I think it'll continue. I think some people had hoped, especially in that resistance movement, that this report might have some sort of results on maybe President Trump getting impeached or at least impeachment proceedings happening. I would not, obviously, this report does not help their case in the way that maybe some hoped it would. So, I mean, it's still possible that the House looks into that, though, of course, Speaker Pelosi has tried to douse those claims and say that's not our focus. We're focused on the actual needs of the American people, like health care. But it's still possible that might come out. But, of course, it's much less likely to be over the Russia issue now. It'll be over a Stormy Daniels issue or the business interest issue or inauguration issues.
We are going into a holiday weekend. I don't know how many people might jump online and take a look at the report, but you're seeing it. Can you just visually describe what you're seeing, how much of it is redacted in your view, what it looks like to kind of wander through the 400 pages?
Yeah, so, I mean, redactions depend on your perspective. I was ready to see a hugely redacted report, and I was pleasantly surprised. I don't think it's that bad. But if you were planning to see only one or two things redacted, then you will think it's more heavily redacted. There are a couple sections where full pages are. One of the most interesting redactions I saw is the special counsel lists the people who they found had lied either to the counsel, special counsel's office or Congress, and two of those names are redacted. And one is part of an ongoing matter, and another was because of a privacy matter, which I found surprising. So there are some redactions like that that are major. Of course, everything is explained, as Attorney General Barr had promised, so you can see exactly why things are redacted. And, of course, the report itself, if you're looking to dive into this, get a cup of coffee and settle in, because it's less than 400 pages, but just barely, with the appendix, which includes written responses by President Trump and his lawyers. That is probably another 40, 50 pages. And it's definitely a doozy.
Yeah, and in what you're saying, the blacked out areas do in some cases say, for example, harm to ongoing matter, or HOM.
Right.
And then there'll be another blacked out area that might say personal privacy. So on the areas that are redacted, you get built right into that location, the explanation.
Right.
All right. What other questions do you have? When you get off the air with us, where do you want to go back into this report and explore more?
I'm mostly, because of my California focus, I'm trying to keep it focused on California members. You know, what part did Representative Nunes play in any of this? So, of course, as I said, he's not explicitly mentioned in the report. Were there any meetings in California? What was going on here? So far, I haven't really seen a lot of that. But you're also seeing a lot, actually. The thing that I think a lot of people might be surprised by is there is obviously a lot of information here. A lot of it is new, but a lot of it has also been previously reported in the media, and it's just confirming those reports or, in some cases, denying those reports, or at least not mentioning them to the extent that it's not relevant to this investigation, as some media reports did report.
One more thing I want to bring up, Kate, and it is in California specific, so I don't know if you've spent time looking at it, but there's already a lot of discussion about the president's initial reaction to the fact that there would be a special counsel investigation, and that he felt that maybe at that moment his presidency could be sunk, although that wasn't the word that he used.
Yes, he used a word we can't say on this air. he had a very strong reaction, according to this report, when he found out that the special counsel was going to happen when he was meeting with his former Attorney General, Jeff Sessions. And he had very strong reaction to it, said, "This is the end of my presidency. This is the worst thing that has ever happened to me," exact quotes, in addition to saying, "I'm word I can't say on the air." So he definitely felt from the beginning that this was going to be terrible. And he says in those remarks, according to this report, that it was because he's heard of special counsels like this. He's heard that it meant that he wasn't going to be able to get anything done, that it was going to undermine his reactions with other presidents and prime ministers and leaders of other countries. So he was definitely emotionally distraught about this. But I think you might see some people trying to, at least I have on Twitter, trying to make the jump that, well, that meant he was really nervous about being investigated on this and why. But the report more makes it seem that he was just nervous about a special counsel investigation in general, not about what they would uncover.
Right. You do have to read the context to understand his reaction. And that may be true for the entire report. You know, the way it's going to be interpreted and explained by tonight or tomorrow morning when people have had time for the 400 pages might be different than some of the early conclusions at this point.
Yeah, and I mean, if you read the report, too, if you have the time to do it, it's very nonpartisan in the way it lays out the facts. That is what it does. It presents the facts that Mueller's team found. I don't think there could be become accusations on either side that this is a partisan report, that Mueller was trying to push an agenda. I think people who read the report in its entirety or even just sections of it will find that that's not grounded in reality. It is a very fact-based report.
Kate, I'm so glad we were able to get you to chat with us a little bit this morning, and I know exactly what you're going back to doing at this point. So thank you very much for joining us from Washington.
Thank you for having me.
That is Kate Irby. She is McClatchy's Washington, D.C.-based California congressional reporter. NPR, as you might imagine, will have ongoing analysis and news coverage of the release of the report throughout the day. Stay with us at capradio.org. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.